the original topic for this month that I put on the website was honoring other paths. And as time went on, I realized that that really wasn't the intention of this particular subject that we were talking about. That what I wanted to focus on was honoring all paths, not just other paths. And as I worked with the energy of it, I realized that honoring our own paths as well as the paths of all others is what the balance is. It's what the energy is, that there has to be a balance between honoring others and honoring ourselves. It's so nice that Stephen came to join us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you're here. So we just started the panel, and Gail and I are going to be talking about honoring all paths. And so one of the experiences that I had yesterday powerfully helped me illustrate the switch that I had made from honoring other paths as the subject for this month to honoring all paths, and including my own path in the process, because we were at a retreat up in Maryland yesterday at a beautiful Roman Catholic retreat house convent called Bon Secours. And it had a glorious garden, a lot of water features. Part of it looked like a painting by Monet, because it had one of those arched bridges, and all of the falling leaves falling into the pond looked like water lilies from a distance. So you could look across and see this really remarkable vista in front. And I had the opportunity to choose from a number of spiritual practices to participate in them, and one of them was a labyrinth walk that was outside in these really pretty sunlit woods. And it was, built from stone and gravel. There were gravel paths between the stone paths that made the paths of the labyrinth. And did everybody know what a labyrinth is? It's a design, a maze, but it has only one way in and one way out. And as you enter the labyrinth, it looks like you're heading straight for the center, but then you get turned away and turned out and turned in and out and in and out time and time and time again as you walk the path, because the path isn't always straight. And it's a wonderful metaphor for walking your spiritual path or walking the path of light, life. And what happens on the labyrinth is you often have experiences that challenge your beliefs or your decisions about your own spiritual path. And that's what happened to me yesterday. In this context of this month that I've been working on honoring all paths, I walked out to go to the labyrinth, and Reverends Thelma and Dwight Smith from Richmond were coming toward me on the road as I was going out. They had just finished walking the labyrinth. And Reverend Dwight was barefoot. And I said, "You walked the labyrinth barefoot?" And he said, "Yeah, it was fabulous. I just loved it. I look for any opportunity to be barefoot outside." And I thought, what a cool idea. And I was really inspired by his example. And so I thought, well, I could do that. I could walk the labyrinth barefoot. And so I went out there, and it was a beautiful day, and I took my shoes off, and it felt really good walking through the grass over to the labyrinth. And I've done a few labyrinths before, several, and my experience on the labyrinth in the past has often been that I feel inspired to dance on the labyrinth rather than simply walk it in a solemn and serious way, which has been challenging for me because that's not the way most people do it. And it's sort of breaking the rules a little bit, and I had to challenge my own ability to stand for what felt right to me in the presence of other people who were following the rules and the guidelines in a way that they felt right about, and that they might judge me for doing it different or wrong. And so I got on the labyrinth barefoot and I started to dance, and it felt really good for about the first four turns. And then the gravel that had moved out of the dividers onto the bricks or the stones started to get into my feet. And I was walking on gravel rather than walking on stones, and it wasn't very pleasant. And I thought, it appears I've made a mistake here. And I did another loop, and it hurt more. And I thought, you know, am I supposed to suffer on my path of life? Or am I allowed to make another decision, you know? Do you have to keep going in the direction that you're going just because you made that choice? And I said, no, I don't. But I do have to get off the labyrinth and break the rules yet again, and make another choice and have to decide if I'm going to start over or if I'm going to get back on where I got off and all of these others. So I'm walking a little further on the stones while I'm deciding this. And then I said, you know, just get off the labyrinth. Get back on where you left off. It doesn't matter. Nobody's watching you anyway. What are you so worried about? So I went over, I put my shoes on, and I was able to dance the labyrinth in joy instead of suffering. And it was such a good decision. And so once again, the labyrinth reflected back to me in such a powerful way the judgment that I had about making my own choices and the importance of respecting my own experience and my own ability to choose. And that is the most powerful message that I have to share about honoring all paths, is that the first path you have to honor in being safe and honoring other paths is your own. And to know that there is that within you that knows what's true, what resonates, and not give your power away to other authority figures who say these are the rules that you have to follow. Because the one thing that most resonated with me the first time I went into a Science of Mind church was Reverend Marianne saying from the pulpit, what Science of Mind is about is really getting it that there is that within you that knows. There is that aspect of you that knows, that is able to guide you, that knows what's right for you, and that it is okay for you to make that decision about what's right for you. You don't have to give your power away to other authority figures. You don't have to worry about what other people are going to think of you. And that reminded me of a teaching that I got close to 20 years ago now by Harry Brown, who was a libertarian who ran for president a number of times. You may have heard of him. But he wrote a book years and years ago called How to Live Free in an Unfree World. And what he said is, in life there will always be people who like you and people who don't like you. You can't get away from that. But if you pretend to be something you're not in order to make people like you, you can never relax in your life, because you will always spend your time trying to remember what it is that you pretended to be with this one or that one. And your whole life will be about trying to catch up with what you pretended to be. Whereas if you just relax and be what you are, there are still going to be people who like you and people who don't like you. But at least you'll be able to relax. And what an amazing message that is. It's like you can put your shoes on if your feet hurt. You don't have to walk the gravel because somebody else may think you ought to, or that you're supposed to follow the rules, or if you made a commitment, you have to keep it. I remember reading a quote once that just tickled me. It said that Lakota tribal wisdom, the Native American tradition, said, if you discover you are riding a dead horse, dismount. The best strategy is, at this point, you're riding a dead horse, get off it. You know, you don't have to stay on it. And I've noticed that in our society, sometimes the men around me are better at making their own choices than the women, and it may just be that it's been harder for me to follow my own path, and I've had to to continually learn that lesson that it's okay for me to make my own choices. So I've tended to run into women that were people pleasers or wanting other people to approve of what they were doing, and more men who were independent. And so it's maybe not gender related at all, but that's been my experience because of law of attraction. And I really appreciate that many young boys are told they can do anything, and that it's up to them to choose what they believe and what they want to do with themselves and with their lives, and that they do feel freer. And I love that I get to see men around me as examples of how to do that and how to step forward more confidently. And I look for women who do that well, because they provide me with examples. And Reverend Hillary's following her own path has been a wonderful example for me of how to step forward in life in a way that doesn't look like anybody else's way of doing it, but is the way that makes her heart sing. And when we are going to take in the message that it is imperative that you follow your bliss, you have to have permission to choose. And once you know you have permission to choose and that you're allowed to change your mind, the buffet of infinite possibilities is available. Because if you try it on and it doesn't fit, you throw it away and you move on to the next thing. But it doesn't mean that you have to judge somebody else's decision to go that way, because that could be perfect for them. And so I wore my salwar kameez today that I ordered from eBay, because it's trying on a new possibility. I've never tried on Indian clothes before. And when I went into the Indian store in Herndon a few years ago, I looked around and I realized that I had no concept of how to even look at the clothes that were there. Yeah, there's a shawl that goes with this outfit. It's ever so pretty. I'll just let Gail do my decor.
It's like Indian now.
And I was drawn to the fabrics in that store, but I was totally intimidated by the fact that I didn't know how to wear them, and I had only consciously seen saris, and I was very clear that bare midriffs was not going to work for me. And that I just wanted to explore the richness and the fullness of these brilliant colors and these extraordinary fabrics, and I didn't have a clue how to begin. And then eBay brought me pictures of things that could work for me. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, I've seen women in Sterling wearing these outfits. And now I can figure out what they're called and how to order them and realize that if the three pieces don't feel right to me, I can take a pair of slacks that I have that feel better and wear that with the top and wear the shawl or not as feels right to me. And I can customize this opportunity for a new fashion statement in a way that works for me. I don't have to do it in exactly the way everyone who ever wore it before wore it. I can wear it in the way that works for me. And so this outfit is a demonstration of that. It's a pair of Western slacks with a tunic that's in bright colors and a remarkable shawl also in bright colors that I was able to match with bracelets in many different colors and hair ornaments in many different colors. And it's a joy to explore something new from that perspective, that if it works for me, I wear it, and if it doesn't, I pass it along to someone it will be perfect for. And I'm not locked in to a decision that I made that may or may not work. I can play with eBay, I can play with fashion, I can play with color, and what works for me stays and what doesn't goes. And I can honor the beauty of the Indian women and explore the possibility of bringing some of that beauty into my life without being locked into the way it had to be done traditionally. And I'm treating my clothing the way I treat my belief system, and that's really fun. I like that idea. So the the point that I wanted to make today, and I'm very grateful that Gail today and Phil later this month are going to actually do real talks on honoring all paths, because it gave me the opportunity to think about that within us that knows, and that we do have that within us that will tell us if this is right for us or not, and how to incorporate new possibilities and new beliefs. So as we think about other paths this month, let's do it from a secure position of knowing that our path that we've chosen is right for us, and we can add new things to the mix and still find ways that feel comfortable. We can look at new beliefs, we can look at new possibilities, and we can mix them in a way that is supportive, encouraging for us as individuals having the life that we live today. So that's what I wanted to say, and we'll pass to Gail.
Thank you, Ken. I jumped at the opportunity to talk about honoring all paths because I have had such an enlightening experience since the accident with my daughter, Lorianne, at the hospital. She is primarily Christian, and I have been primarily Christian in my upbringing. And just the love that I've seen exuded from all these wonderful people, whether they had a doctrine of hell and damnation, or they had a doctrine that you got to do specific things to be saved, or whatever it was, I saw nothing of doctrine when with the people that were presented there at the hospital, who really loved her, really supported her, and wanted to be there for her. What I saw was almost a higher dimension. And I saw almost, I'm sure it was pure love. It had to be love. Because I couldn't see doctrine. I couldn't see a way of living. I couldn't see anything else. All I saw was kindness. All I saw was compassion, gentleness, and just an outpouring of love. And I just wanted to share that aspect of, what do we think? What are we thinking about when we think of another? What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about religion? Are we thinking about what the past has been? Are we thinking about where they've come from? Or are we thinking about what is presented to us on a now basis? And, one of the things that I really like about Emerson is that he wrote a very beautiful piece. This is in the Essays of Emerson. And in Spiritual Laws, he said, "Behind us as we go, all things assume pleasing forms, as clouds do afar off. Not only things familiar and stale, but even the tragic and terrible are comely as they take their place in the pictures of memory." And that means a lot to me, because it says that every one of us right here, right now, are in such a good place. Doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what religion you have. It doesn't matter what practices you've had. Everything just culminates into this one moment right here, right now. And you look back in memory, and it seemed as though everything has taken its place. It seemed as though everything has added up to make me who I am right here, right now. And a lot of us would look back and say, I shouldn't do this, or I should have done this differently. But if we look back in time, we would say it has all added up to bring me to where I am at this point, with the experience I have, the knowledge I have, the wisdom I have. And that's one of the things that really stumped me in making judgments about others. judgment for me is sort of not honoring another, not honoring the path that they have come from. And again, it's not a religion, it's not any kind of doctrine, I should say, but it's the person, it's the inside of a person that, the inside of a person that we are actually working with. You know, in my vision just recently, in our visioning, I actually saw just an all blue, and this has been making a lot of sense. Everything in the vision was just pure blue, just sprinkled with crystals, crystalline, and it's like little snowflakes. And I asked what this pure blue was, and the answer was, it's love. It's just love. And I see this love as the essence of every one of us. You know, in spiritual science, I guess I should say, it really doesn't take a scientist to figure out that if all is love, then I must be love. If everything that is made has been made in love, if everything that has been made by God, and we say that God is love, we say God is great, God is gracious, whatever names we call it, we are made from that. It is the one. And so we emanate from that oneness. And so when I look at another, I don't look at another as to what they present from their past or even what they're presenting in the future, but I look at another on that heart level. Right now I can see like a nice blue streak going all the way around because our hearts are connecting from this place of love. It's just the one, and we emanate with each other from the one. And I'm reminded that, you know, with this love, there is not an unconditional or a conditional sort of thing. It's not that it's going to, the sun is going to shine only in Sterling and then forget us in Springfield. It's unconditional. The sun does not discriminate. The rain does not discriminate. The plants grow here as well as it grows in Iraq, as well as it grows anywhere in Europe. It's just an unconditional love, just constantly flowing. And I think that is where we connect. That is where I connect as a creature, a creation of this allness. And, you know, there was a picture, I think it was painted by a painter, Holman Hunt. He drew Jesus. And it was a magnificent picture. And the book that I was reading, the writer asked him, well, what's happening? There is a beautiful picture of Jesus knocking on a door, but there are no knobs. What's up with that? And the painter said, there are knobs, or there is a knob, but it's open from inside. And it's almost the same thing. I mean, it's well-being knocking everywhere around us, but we have to open it. It's accessed from within. It only comes from within to the outside. And that's how I see everyone. I see everyone as flooded with well-being, flooded with goodness, flooded with love, flooded with pure peace and security. And the only way I could access them is not what they've brought to me from their past, what their religion tells me, what they believe in, but the only way I can access them is by opening and knowing that what we are is the one, accessing them from within. And you know, yesterday at the retreat, it was very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful in terms of what I gleaned. And it seemed as though, hey. Thank you. And one of our speakers, I can't remember her name, the first speaker.
Reverend Dr. Candace Beckett.
She spoke on four things that, and she quoted from the name of a book, which I can't remember the name of the book. I didn't write it down. But, you know, it was a room full of practitioners. They call that a room full of brilliant minds. Because actually we have made the effort to study and to know and to differentiate and to pull from and to see different aspects of limitations and to help others, to uplift others in areas where they may be needing help, or even to uplift our own selves and to really find areas where we can work with and pray with and about and all that. But she spoke about four things. She says, one must be able to show up. Show up meaning that be willing to see anew, again and again and again and again. Be willing to drop your perspectives. And dropping your perspectives mean seeing someone coming towards you and staying in pure love, as opposed to staying in judgment, or as opposed to not knowing what they're coming with and already have your defense up. But open your heart with love and just show up. And then she talked about paying attention. If we are going to show up, if we are going to let our judgment go, then paying attention, we should open our hearts and just listen with our hearts. Take each person for granted. Love each person. Be very intentional about each person. And know that everyone that's coming to us is coming to us from a place of importance in our lives and, of course, in their lives. And I think that's a place of a good neutral ground, in that we pay attention to another and really honor them where they're coming from. And then tell the truth. What is the truth about this person? Now, there are universal truths, and the universal truth is that you are divine. You are part of this all blueness that I've seen. You're all part of the love. You're part of God's creation, and that is the basic truth. We can never ever be separated from that. It doesn't matter what religion, there is no separation from this truth. And so if we open up and we speak that truth for the person, and there are many different areas of truth that we can speak, then boundaries are dissolved, limitations are dissolved. People would be rushed to us because they feel comfortable and at home in our presence. And the last one is just be open to the outcome. We just have to remember that there is no place that we need to have another person go to. A person comes to us, or a person is here because they're living an experience, they're living life. And in as much as we are teachers on this path, we are teachers only for an experience, or only for others to garner maybe just a dot of experience at one point in time. Everyone is a teacher in some ways. But being open to the outcome means we really don't have to save anyone. You know, we don't have to be concerned that they're getting it. We don't have to be concerned that their religion doesn't teach the right thing. We don't have to be concerned about anything but to love and honor them and come from the place of truth that they are beautiful creations of God, that they are beautiful, they're just from the divine. And how else could they be but perfect? If the divine is perfect, then we are perfect. And so that's my offering. And I just wanted to leave a quote from Ernest Holmes. He said, "If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is all there is and the universe is one, then there is no power, presence, or law against the truth. that truth that we know and recognize in us and in each other. Let us honor God more and man less. To me, that says, let us do away with the peripherals of what man brings and honor that place, that heart space. And so let us honor God and man less. Let us seek within for the cause. It can be found in no other place. There is nothing that can keep us from the inner vision of eternal reality. Thank you very much.
Thank you.